Arbuckle decided the money he paid Benson was well worth it. "It's Gonzalez's new nickel currency," Benson said. "It's kicked the economy right in the crotch, and they always seem to know when an American ship is coming in." Arbuckle had heard the Mexican lower classes were in a bad way, and he wondered if they were in any danger. Desperate, hungry men had been known to do all sorts of dreadful things. He'd traded in his six-shooter for a more concealable Smith & Wesson top-brick .32 revolver. It hung in a shoulder holster under his jacket. They were on a business trip, after all, and it wouldn't do to be seen swaggering around Veracruz with heavy iron on their hips. Benson had also switched to a shoulder holster, although his Schofield made a more noticeable lump under his jacket. "Let's just get to the hotel," Arbuckle said, maneuvering through the mass of humanity. "Is there such a thing as a hansom cab in this town?"
"They'll charge you an arm and a leg," Benson told him. "The hotel's only a couple blocks."
Might as well be 100 miles, the way Arbuckle felt, but he trudged on and kept his mouth shut. Once they were past the waterfront, the crowds thinned to a tolerable level. The pits and collar of Arbuckle's shirt were soaked with sweat by the time they reached the Grand Emporio Hotel, an impressive structure with columns and a wide stairway and broad arches. The lobby was an open, airy place with colorful tiles. Arbuckle's footfalls echoed as he crossed the space to the long front desk. The clerk wore a perfectly pressed green jacket, trimmed in gold, the same color scheme worn by the bellhops. His mustache was well-oiled, black, and curled. The part down the center of his slicked hair was the straightest thing Arbuckle had ever seen.
"Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the Grand Emporio."
The clerk's English was quite good, with only a hint of an accent. "How may I serve you today?" "A reservation for Arbuckle."
"One moment."
He turned to the endless rows of cubbyholes lining the wall behind the desk and seemed to know just the right one to reach into. Turning back to Arbuckle with a folded piece of paper in his well-manicured hand.
"Here we are, sir. A suite of rooms. I can have your bags taken up."
"Don't bother," Arbuckle said. "My man has things well in hand." Benson cleared his throat unhappily but made no further objection. Arbuckle signed the register, and the clerk handed him the key.
"I do hope you enjoy your stay, sir."
Arbuckle smiled weakly. "I'm sure I will." A wide stairway made a gentle curve up to the second floor. Arbuckle climbed slowly, feeling better now that he was off the ship, but still weak in the legs. Benson huffed up the stairs behind him with the luggage. The suite was at the end of the hall. Arbuckle turned the key, pushed open the heavy wooden door, and they entered. Benson dropped the bags with a grunt. The rooms were clean and possessed an old-world luxury, with thick rugs, tapestries on the walls, furniture of rich, polished wood, and plush velvet upholstery. A sitting room in the center had a bedroom on either side. Arbuckle pushed open the French doors to the balcony and stepped outside. The city of Veracruz stretched out before him, brown stucco and muted red roof tiles, and the spire of a large cathedral in the middle distance. Shaggy palm trees lined the wide boulevards. Not a bad view, really, but he was disappointed not to see the Gulf of Mexico. Funny how he liked the water so much better when seeing it from the land. He went inside to a sideboard and looked into a ceramic pitcher. Water. He poured some into a glass.
"I wouldn't drink that if I were you," Benson said. "Trust me."
Arbuckle made an impatient noise in his throat and set the glass down.
"It's hot."
"Stay here and don't drink that," Benson insisted. "I'll be back as soon as I can." He left the suite. Arbuckle took off his jacket and draped it over the back of a chair. He peeled off his shirt and tossed it into the seat, then went back out to the balcony, hoping for a breeze. There was none. Still, he took in the air and felt better. Eventually, he'd need to get back on a ship and return home, and then he'd be ill all over again. A problem for another day. He heard Benson return and went back inside.